It is 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia, and our professor, Kevin Gunn, has arrived, who came up with an idea a week ago, and the beauty of radio is you can plant a seed and add water and can grow just about instantly, right?
That's right. Seeds have been a big part of the history here.
Yeah, they really have. And Kev had this great idea. First of all, where did you find this this little gem of audio?
Just as a bit of background, we have moved, you and I, together from 19th and Walnut to 5th and Market and from 5th and Market to out to here. So there was always a running joke around the radio station is, you know, whatever happened to this? Whatever happened to that? Oh, we lost it in the move. You know, where's Brian Adams? Oh, we lost him in the move. What happened to the spin doctors? Oh, we lost him in the move. So I came across these old tapes once in the move, and I decided that I would put them in my file cabinet for safekeeping, where they stayed for a number of years. And then I switched studios, and I had to unpack all my file cabinets, and I came across them. So I decided the next time April 7th rolled around, which was the anniversary of the gig, that I would cut it up and try and make some entertaining radio out of it so we could hear a little bit of the history of Bruce Springsteen and WMMR.
And what was it labeled?
Yeah. It was labeled Bruce Springsteen, guest DJ, and then somebody had written on it, save historical value.
Wow.
On this big, like, it's a foot-long box of tape. So, in other words, it's a foot square, and it's got, like, reel-to-reel tape in it, in case you've ever seen that or heard of it. And so that was the medium of the day. So I'm not even sure we saved it. I think David Dye had a listener mail him his when he taped it off the air and send it to David. I'm not even sure that this is an original tape from MMR. But anyway, it ended up in our hands, and we have it. Damn it, we're going to stay claim to it.
Well, you know, we have a history wall of the various DJs who've worked here from our very first morning show, Johnny Kraft to Jerry Stevens, Cassidy in the afternoon, Don Gladden in the evening. Dave Herman did the overnight show, who was also our first DJ. And then we have the various DJs through the years, and the top frame is the up to the mid-70s. So it was today, which was a Sunday, April 7th in 1974. Our full-time air staff was Johnny Kraft in the morning, Ed Shockey 10 to 2. The news with Bill Vitka from, T. Morgan was afternoons 2 to 6. The news with Bill Vitka was 15 minutes long from 6 till 6:15. That was prime time for news. What'd you say?
Holy NPR.
I know. Michael Tiersen was, David Dye was 6:15 to 10 p.m. Tiersen was 10 to 2, and Steve Martorano did the overnight show 2 to 6. Now, on the weekends, as is now, we had a full-time weekend staff. Overnights was Jonathan Takeoff, then it was Alice Farr, then a public affairs show, and David Dye was on from 1 p.m. till 6 p.m. on Sundays. So that's when this took place, on a Sunday, April 7th, 1974. And I'm going to roll the intro before we play one of the first songs. But remember, it's not super audio quality. It's a little slice of history. And everyone's voice sounds a little higher, right?
Yeah. Picture like Bob Dylan at a drive-thru. So you get a little of that.
Here he goes. This is the opening as David Dye announced who the special guest would be.
Hi, WMMR. Bruce Springsteen is with us this afternoon. He had a gig last night, and he looks like he's
that's not still why asleep. I look that way.
Oh, okay. Right, you got to get closer to these things.
Oh, okay.
So they can understand you. If you'd like to talk to Bruce Springsteen, 561-5933. What we're going to be doing is Bruce picked out a whole stack of records, some really fine stuff, which you probably haven't heard in a long time, which are what most of the stuff you used to listen to.
Yeah, you know, the things that sort of, a lot of things that influenced me and got me into, you know, being where I'm going, you know, where I'm at now.
Okay, and a good way to start.
Bruce is not speaking with great clarity.
Well, he had done a couple gigs the previous couple of nights, and he's by nature a nocturnal dude.
Right.
So it was nice enough to come by in daylight. Picture Jackie Bam Bam at 4 in the afternoon.
That's a great way of putting it.
So he was probably a little bit tired, and he had a gig that night at Seton Hall. So yeah, he stopped by to say thanks because David was one of his earliest supporters.
That's so cool. All right, so they picked out some songs. And where was the gig he had the night before? Was that Seton Hall? Or?
No, I believe that was at Burlington County Community College. Wow. The night before that was at Widener. And then the day of this interview, they went up and did Seton Hall that night.
Check it out. All right. Bruce came in with a stack of records or went into our music library and came back with some records. We will play one that he picked out and one that was new for him at the time on 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia.
One, two, three. Good luck.
On vacations by the radio, searching for a station that's in tune. I swear I heard everything that I ever loved to fear, from a teenage fit to a sonic boom. Well, my feet, they finally took through the earth, but I got me a nice little place in the stars. And I swear I found the key to the universe at 93.3 WMM.
Yeah, that was the E Street Shuffle, which is a real big tune on the album. Like, there are a lot of tunes that are more popular on the radio, but live, that's the big tune on the album, it seems.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, the reaction when you start going into it.
Like, usually, Rosalita, you know.
Yeah, well, right.
Like the Rosalita, and what else did we find is popular? Kitty's Back is real popular, you know. And even New York City Serenade.
I'm really impressed that if you have ever seen Bruce, he starts off with New York City Serenade most of the time, which is a real balls move.
Yeah, and it's like, that's pretty popular, you know.
Let's see. Someone called up and wanted to know the story behind Rosalita.
The story behind it, that is the story.
Right. It's a straight ahead autobiographical.
I don't really want to get into explaining it because you end up messing with the magic of the whole thing, you know. But
actually, most tunes, there's no reason to explain them. But I guess that's basically what they wanted to know. It is
just what it is.
Is Sandy an autobiographical one too? Or
I don't really like to say it's because it's not as clear cut as, you know, yes it is and no it's not, you know.
Poetic license.
It's you know, it's hard for me. I don't like to get into actually talking about it, because if I could have talked about it, I probably would have never wrote it, you know.
Right.
There it is. Rosalita on 93.3 WMMR. Was then, still is now, a huge concert fave. When Mr. Springsteen and that E Street Band take the stage, Pierre Robert here with Kevin Gunn, and it was today in 1974. It was a Sunday afternoon on Rittenhouse Square. David Dye was on the air, and Bruce came by, and Kevin found the tape. Pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, it is pretty amazing. It was the stuff I was listening to as a young high schooler. That got me interested in radio and in Bruce. And David was one of my my scouts ahead of me and telling me in reverse what was cool. And so it's pretty amazing to have come across it. And having listened to David all these years on his other work in town, it's quite a privilege.
Maybe I should play his little intro piece first, then you read that thing.
Go ahead.
We're sort of doing this on the fly, just figuring out how to run these pieces that we have. So this was David setting the scene this afternoon in 1974 with a special guest that we had at the time.
Our guest is Bruce Springsteen, who's putting it together. If you'd like to talk to Bruce Springsteen, 561-5933.
Now, that number does not work today, so please don't call that number. But, Kev, what have you got there in Bruce's book?
Well, in Bruce's biography, Born to Run, on page 197, he talks about another experience. Was we were playing to an empty house gig in the Main Point in Bryn Mawr, Pennsylvania. When in walked David Dye. He was a DJ over at WMMR, Philly's local FM station. He watched us play to like 30 people, approached us and said, "I love your band." That night, we heard Greetings from Asbury Park being spun on to music-loving insomniacs as we drove out of town in our tour bus.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's pretty cool.
Now, if all goes well, we have that very DJ on the line with us. David, can you hear me?
Hey, Pierre. I can't tell you how cool this is.
I can't tell you how cool it is to have you join us. David Dye is one of the great Philly treasures in terms of radio announcers here at MMR. He was on IOQ when it was a rock station. Many, many years at XBN, including host of one of the greatest music shows, the World Cafe, until you stepped down in 2017. And God bless you, you're still in this area, and we're blessed to have you as a member of the community. But your knowledge of music, the people you've talked to, is nothing short of stupendous. And the fact that you're kind enough to come on with us is also very cool. But I just got to ask you, first of all, what you thought of your voice, hearing your voice
I knew you'd get to that. Man, what a funny-sounding voice I had. And I don't know what that was about, but I've heard other air checks, and it's like that as well. But I also think I was a little nervous, you know? I mean, it is Bruce. I mean, I'd met him and talked with him a bunch, but having him on the air was something special.
Was that your first time interviewing him?
I think it might have been my second. I had him a couple of times. I know, as you mentioned, he played in Burlington County, and I talked to him there, and I said, hey, come over. And I think he had to ask his manager if he could have a hotel room for the night, because they were going to just drive back to New Jersey before they went to Seton Hall. So
was Ed's couch not available that evening?
he brought his girlfriend up and with him, and that was kind of cool. It was tremendous, and it's so far you can't be surprised at the tunes he's picking out. They're total Bruce tunes.
Yeah, well, I mean, you played some of his stuff, but some of the songs he picked, you know, include Spanish Harlem from Aretha Franklin, maybe from the Chantels. What else? Jailhouse Rock from Elvis Presley were some of the tunes that he picked out. We're not going to have time to get to all of those in this remembrance, but. Just kind of amazing that you had him in these studios. And what I loved, and Kevin saved the piece in one of the earliest pieces we ran, was you kept having to say, could you lean a little closer to the microphone, Bruce?
totally, yeah. He totally sounded really nervous for everything I've heard him say. But, you know, it was all kind of still new to him. I mean, he had not broken out almost anywhere but here in Philadelphia, and that was yet to come, because we're right in the middle there between the second album and Born to Run. And I believe this is around the time that his manager sent, you were talking about this being on Reel to Reel, he sent us a Reel to Reel copy from the studio of Born to Run.
What?
That we had, yes, way in advance. And believe it or not, nobody was smart enough to put it on a cart, so every time you wanted to play it, you had it threaded up, put it on the tape recorder, and play it back. So we had that for a while, and that was the version that ended up on Born to Run. But we had to not talk about an advance. That was a way advanced.
So you're telling me that MMR had Born to Run before anyone else in the country?
Now, I don't know if he gave it to anybody else, but as far as I know, yeah.
Wow.
Just for our audience to understand David Dye and his career, you know, before there were like social media influencers, you know, David Dye was a musical taste influencer in this town and around the country. So it's really important to understand that, you know, we're looking at some of the Mount Rushmore of Philly disc jockeys with David. He was a musical influencer his entire career, and certainly in the case that we're reliving today.
So go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm certainly talking to people that were up there. Definitely.
Very kind. What was it like just sitting across from him? Because I've met him only a few times, actually, but there is this duality, if you will, because there is that stage presence, which is the, you know, the tent revival preacher, you know, who just gets everybody involved. And then there is one-on-one where he is very almost withdrawn and, you know, shy or quiet or reserved. I guess that was always the case in some form. Is that correct?
I always experienced him that way. The best was to talk to him after a gig when he'd be kind of fired up. But he saw how careful he was about what he said, and he was pretty aware
that he wouldn't say what the meaning of Rosie was or Sandy.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Well, it is what it is. And did you ever have him in again, David, after that?
I think that was the final time I had him in. I think I'd had him in once before.
Okay.
But that was it, yeah.
Now and, sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say I actually left the area later on that year, 74.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was it.
Were you surprised in any way, shape, or form by what happened with his career?
I always believed, you know, what are you going to do? A couple years after that, after Born to Run had been out, in fact, it was even a little further along than that, I went to see him. You're not going to believe this year. I went to see him at a arena in Lewiston, Maine, where I was working, a hockey rink. And after the show, I just went up to one of the crew and said, hey, I'm David. I'm a friend of Bruce's. Can I go say hi? And he just waved me backstage. And I ended up in his dressing room. I swear to God, as he was coming out of the shower. And he goes, hey, David, you know. Would that happen today? I think not.
I think not. Oh, my God. That's amazing. I love these early stories. We got to have you in sometime for a full reconstruction of what memories you may have of those days in Philly, because it was not uncommon for artists. We have some photo with Ed Shockey and Bruce and Billy Joel, and I think Janice Ian, if that's
Janice
correct.
Janice Ian. That's a famous photo.
Yeah, all together. But and the last thing I want to ask you is, you have him in, but still he's just starting out. I mean, this is a guy whose career could have gone left or right. It could have gone up or down. And so you said you were nervous, but I'm kind of surprised because, you know, he was playing to quarter houses even then in colleges. He'd probably have 100 people come out, right?
Well, it was a little better than that, particularly here.
Okay.
here. I think shortly after this, he headlined at the Tower. I mean, Gunner may know more than I do about that. But, yeah, he was on his way, but it took Born to Run to really get him there.
Do you remember the Maine Point show, or were you out of town at that particular time?
Oh, no. I saw many Maine Point shows.
Wow.
That's where I started, and that's where I met him. And obviously the one he talks about, I think he turned that into a story from a couple of different incidents, because I wasn't doing overnight, so I couldn't have played him. And he didn't have a tour bus.
right. Yeah, they're lucky to have Volkswagen vans in those days.
Exactly.
But it's so cool that you got to be there and got to be a part of it. And are you doing anything musically now, or are you quiet and just enjoying life after you step down from the World Cafe?
I'm doing my own 2-hour show on Sundays from 11 to 1.
Is it on XPN?
On XPN.
Excellent. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Is that like a funk thing or a...
No. It's just I said, hey, let me do my thing. And they said, okay. And so I just, it's kind of a freeform thing. And it's a whole lot of fun. And I'm enjoying it a lot.
I believe it's called...
from home, Pierre.
You do it from home?
Yeah.
Wow. It's called Dave's World. We just pulled it up. Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
David, thank you so much for spending some time and reliving what you were doing this very afternoon in 1974 on Rittenhouse Square as a valued member of MMR's air staff. Really cool to talk to you, my friend.
That's so great. Great to talk to you, Pierre. It's been a lot of fun. I want to hear more of this.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We got a few more pieces to run on the other side. Thank you, David.
Bye-bye.
And we will come back in just a moment and carry on our conversation with Bruce and David from today. In 1974.
93.3 WMMR.
All right. If you're just joining us, we're flashing back to today, 48 years ago on MMR. Our special guest DJ, Kevin, was...
Bruce Springsteen.
And the host of the show was David Dye. It was a Sunday afternoon. We just had David on live from today. He doesn't love the sound of his voice. None of us does from those earlier days. We're all sounding a little higher in the earlier days. But let's reset as David reintroduces his guest, and Bruce has picked out some songs, one of which we're going to play, and I believe they talk about some of his and the E Street Band's travel. So let us return in time, magically 48 years ago this afternoon on MMR.
We continue. Bruce Springsteen is programming all of this. You're going to be gigging around this area for staying at home, or?
Well, we're going to Boston. We're going to Boston Tuesday.
Okay.
You know, so But that's in the area, you know, like the Northeast, you know.
Right, right. You just got back from Texas. First time...
Yahoo!
First time out that way?
Yeah, never been out. Well, I traveled across the country a couple times, and I rode through a lot, but I never stopped, you know.
Yeah.
And it was fun. We had a great time. It was strange, too, because the first place we played was Houston, right? And
right.
We were playing with these bands. It was all country bands, you know. It's all we saw. So, man, they can dig us out of it. Oh, we're in trouble. It's good, you know. Because we were from way over the other side of the tracks, you know. And we came on, and the audience was some of the best people I've ever played to, man, you know. And surprisingly, a lot of people came out, you know, a lot of people came down to see the band. And we'd never been there before, and we went in Phoenix, and we sold out a 3,000-seat place, you know. And it was, well, just great people. We had a good time.
They seemed to know the tunes, or they just...
Yeah, that was what was really... I mean, we're in Phoenix, Arizona, right? And they knew all the tunes, Spirit in the Night, you know, and Heart Sings, they got standing ovations, and it was something. It was
really
something.
Great. Explain this tune.
This tune... This is a Texas song, Bobby Fuller 4.
Bobby Fuller 4, I fought the law and the law won. And we're flashing back to today, 48 years ago, 1974. Bruce was the guest DJ, believe it or not. Bruce Springsteen with the host, David Dye. And here is another selection of their conversation on MMR today in 74.
The original Twist and Shout, which, how long have you been doing that tune?
Since that was the first song I ever sang, you know, first rock song I ever did. I did it for my first high school dance. You know, I was scared to death, my knees were shaking. Because in those days, like, none of the bands, nobody sang, you know, the whole thing was at least, you know, in Jersey, like, there was two kinds of groups. There was... You had the a cappella groups, you know, that just sang without the music. And then you had the instrumental groups, you know.
Adventures, right?
Right, you know, all, you know, they had Takeoffs on the Venture, the Chevelles, you know, in our area. And you either did one of the two, you know, you either did one or the other. And then, slowly but surely, you know, like the Beatles, like that was what was so big about them. They sang and played at the same time. You know, at first that was thought to be,
right,
you know,
right.
Now everybody says, you know, takes it for granted. But at the time, that was
That's
something.
True, isn't it? Yeah. It was really all split up back then.
Yeah.
So that's David Dye and Bruce Springsteen talking about all kinds of things, but including the song Twist and Shout, the Isley Brothers and the Beatles and all those great bands covering it, including Bruce and the E Street Band.
Yeah, they covered Twist and Shout. They covered the hell out of it in the early days, mostly because he wanted to do really long shows, but he only had two records out. Then we had Greetings, and he had The Wild and the Innocent. And so you play all of them, and it's an hour and a half, and you want to go three. So what do? Well, you play great cover songs. One of the cover songs they played and milked was the Beatles' Isley Brothers song, Twist and Shout.
And we have a Philly performance of it from December 31st, New Year's Eve, 1975, on 93.3 WMMR at the beautiful Tower Theater in beautiful Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. Needless to say, an MMR concert event. And that, my friends, was the last song of the evening, Twist and Shout, from tonight in, or no, excuse me, from December 31st in 1975 at the Tower Theater. Bruce and the E Street Band, they released this a couple of years ago, New Year's Eve, in Philly at the Tower, 1975. The Isley Brothers, originally a song written by Phil Medley and Burt Burns was the guy's name. But it was recorded first by the Top Notes, but became a hit with the Isley Brothers in 62. And then the Beatles did that great cover of it. And Bruce covered it a lot, as Kevin pointed out. Just joining us, we're wrapping up our conversation of what was a very special day today in 1974 when David Dye was on the air and Bruce Springsteen came by to chat. It sounded a little something like this.
Our guest is Bruce Springsteen, who's putting it together. If you'd like to talk to Bruce Springsteen, 561-5933.
Now, of course, our phone number has changed since that point.
Yes. Speaking of phone numbers, there's a call on line number 6.
Line number 6. Okay, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hi, MMR. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pierre. I'm calling to talk to Bruce Springsteen, of course.
Well, he's not here at the moment.
I know, but you and Gunner are just at the top of the list, Pierre. That's for sure. This is awesome.
Well, maybe we'll get him someday. In the meantime, we'll go back to today in 1974.
It's beautiful, Pierre. Great job, man. Give my best to Gunner.
Thank you. What's your name?
Joe Zinni.
All right, Joe. Thank you for the call, buddy. Have a great day.
Hi, Pierre. Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Nice, huh? Nice.
Hi, Joe. Thanks.
Hi, Joe. So cool. Joe wants to speak with Bruce. Those, remember, we had three phone numbers when I came here. There was 215-something... 0933. There was a 609-something 0933, and there was a 302 for Delaware, something 0933.
And hang on, kids, to your boots and booties. It wasn't for cell phones. It was just landlines.
Dear God in heaven, how did we survive?
I don't know, but I'm tired.
Been walking all day. All right, one more little piece as David says goodnight to Bruce on MMR today, this afternoon. In fact, probably right about now. In 1974.
Well, thank you for coming by.
My pleasure.
You're going up to Seton Hall tonight.
Seton Hall, yes.
So if you're up there in North Jersey, folks, where it will be. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, can I say? Are we still?
Okay. Well,
how you doing, Richie? In Serrano Subs. In Freehold.
Bruce had a sub on the way up.
Called it a sub. He didn't call it a hoagie. No. A hoagie.
He's from North Jersey. I think that they're not. They're hoagies. They're subs up there.
Oh, okay.
But I like the idea that the guy who went on to could buy Minnesota, had to plug a deli in Freehold for a free sandwich that day.
Wow,
that's the best.
He probably needed all the free sandwiches he could because we made a joke about Ed Shockey and the couch. But briefly tell that story, Kev.
What, the couch story or the Ed Shockey story?
Well, they're one and the same, but didn't he come down? Didn't he take a bus? Bruce took a bus?
He took a bus. And David Bowie's, David Bowie was covering one of Bruce's songs, and they got to Bruce, and Bruce jumped on a bus to come down and watch some of the sessions. And later they all went out, but Bruce missed the last bus back up north. So he slept on Ed Shockey's couch, and that has gone into legend and lore of the city and Ed and Springsteen, for that matter.
If there's ever a Philly Rock Hall of Fame, that couch needs to be in it.
Oh, yeah. It will be.
I was at Ed's house once, and I saw the legendary couch. There was no plaque on it. There should have been.
Did he charge you?
He did not. He did not. God bless him. 1,000 thanks to David Dye for calling in. That was so fun to have him on and his remembrances of this afternoon. He just walked backstage casually and said, "Hey, Bruce, will you come on and do a guest DJ thing?" And he goes, "Yeah, sure." Bruce, not sounding, although he did seem like he was livelier as the afternoon wore on.
Yeah, I don't think you watch the guy play and you think there's no way that guy is shy or
there's
nervous.
There's no off switch, right?
Yeah, but in real life, he was very thoughtful about the words he chose, and he had already gotten burnt with the lawsuit, so he wanted to be careful about saying anything that would prevent him from making more music. So as much as he needed radio, he was still a little wary of getting himself into trouble.
Some of the songs they played, Bruce was the guest DJ, include Good Lovin' from the Rascals, which we got in, E Street Shuffle from the band that was out at the time. They also played I Fought the Law, which we included, from the Bobby Fuller 4, the original, not the Clash version, not the Green Day version. Also Twist and Shout. I don't know if they did the Beatles. I think they did the Beatles version of that. They also did the Zodiacs, Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs Stay. They did Aretha Franklin, what did they do, Spanish Harlem from her, the Chantels, Maybe, and I think they played Incident. They also played Heatwave from Martha and Vandellas. No, they did the Isley Brothers version of Twist and Shout. And they did Jailhouse Rock from Elvis Presley and Like a Rolling Stone from Royal Albert Hall from Bob Dylan. So a lot of tunes were played on that afternoon with Mr. Springsteen as the guest DJ.
Yeah, it's great when a guy can come by and just show you his roots. This is the stuff that influenced me. And that's what he was doing. He's playing his favorite records, which is what we all do. Some of us just end up with microphones in front of us,
Kevin, thank you for finding this, for bringing this to our attention. And with our 54th anniversary coming up at the end of the month, for allowing us to have a little fun with this.
It's an honor. It's my honor.
That's just great job. Great job by you. So thank you, sir. Kevin Gunn, art professor and pancake producing, and Bill Weston coordinating, and David Dye for calling in.